The following recording consists of several parts. It includes the recording of this year's Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review, which allows you in a few moments just to go over the Daf, and then it continues on with the same Daf in the previous Daf Yomi cycle, which of course has a completely different ambience and a whole different group of people that are in attendance. You can use that for Chazorah if you wish, and you may actually prefer the ambience of the earlier daf. We're holding in Beseches Vachim, Daf Mem Gimel, at the Helek Abishan Mem Beit Amud Beit. We've finished coming to understand how one makes Pigel, in terms of what things are Mevagel, what the objects of Pigel are, so what is it that you're eating, what type of Korbonas is Pigel Shayach to. Now, the question is, what would you be Chayav on as Achila of Pigel? So the third issue, which part of the Korban could be Mechayav you karet when you eat it after it was Mevagel? Says the Mishnah, Ve'elu she'in, Ve'elu devarim she'in chayavim aleihem, Mishupim. The following things have no chiyuv of karet if you eat them, despite the fact that the korban that they are part of was mefugal, in the sense that there was a machshavas v'tzana. And nonetheless, these things are not going to be able to be mechayav yosi. Hakomet. Why? First of all, how do you make a komet? To make a komet, the komet itself is the matter. But that's not a problem, because to make the komet spiegel by, let's say, doing the halacha. If you don't know the Rebbe Shimon anyway, well, there's nothing of the halacha. But if you do the halacha of the comment, you could do the halacha as a plus pigel. To do the kmitza, the kmitza itself, or the achilas hashirayim, either way. Or you do the act of kmitza. But the kmitz itself that became pigel, that kmitz, if you eat it, is not b'chayev you pigel. Why is that? Because again, the klal is that the matir is never a pigel. It's only a davar sheyesh lo matir. Since over here there's nothing else on the Mizayach, but it's matir the kemet. It's the kemet that is coming to be matir the shiraim. Therefore, it's not shayach to talk about pigel. Question, of course, over here would be, how could there be a chiev of pigel? If you ate the kemet, then you didn't do the haktar of the kemet. If you don't do the haktar of the kemet, and you didn't finish, it wasn't korav. We said it has to be kartzat kasher, kachartzat pasul. There's no ritzui if you're not marked to the kteres. It's a strange situation. What would it be? So Rashi Menachis is talking about that you were marked here the kteres, but before it was burned completely, you ate a gezayas from on the mizbeach. But once it was put on the mizbeach and it was shalach, it's already considered that you did the Torah commitment. Now, but it's still Roy L'Achila. So you grab it off of the Mizbeach and you eat a piece. So if not for the problem that only something that has itself matirim can be chayev and pigel, which we learn out of Shlomim, I would have said that should be chayev because I was not there. I did everything correctly. And I also ate a piece of the mincha, albeit a piece which was on the Mizbeach, but of a piken I should be chayev. Shambash Malan, I'm not chayev mishum pigel. Okay, there's tainus against Rashi's Tractates. There's another trap, but it's not really our Iker Sugya. Our Iker Sugya is to define those objects that became Chayev Kores where the carbon was Mitpagel. It happens to be that in certain cases, it's because of the fact that I can't be Mitpagel with missing neither. But that's a separate issue. So, let's say you have the comet. How about the Teres? Teres is strange. I don't have an act of something that would be similar to Mita, so I'd be stuck with only Hailach. And the Kemets could become Pigo because I did a Mita. I did halacha, I did even the Nitzin of the Kli, the equivalent of the Kabbalah. But the Teres, the whole Teres. So what act is there that makes the eagle? Sein Achinami over there would have to be the halacha of the Teres of the Mizbeach. There isn't. That's the point. The Mela, the Teres, would be, and it's not Shaykh Pigalon. Okay, the Lavona. Should have sheet to put together Kemet Alavena. So even though it's true that the Kemet, in a sense, need to be brought first, and therefore consider itself to be a matir of the Lavena, but in reality, the Lavena doesn't have it itself is a mat. Since it itself is a matir, it cannot be chayav on pigel if you eat it. Minchas Keani, which doesn't have a matir. So Mamela, if there is nothing else that is matir, because it's korav entirely on bidayat, therefore it's not similar to the shlomi. The Minchas Kein Mashiach, which is a minchas chavitim, is also entirely brought, no din of nitan. The dam itself is a matir. The nesachim habaim bidayat. Now, there's two possible ways itself can be born bidayat. First of all, it's possible to make a neder of a minchas nesachim. Even though the place where the Torah Torah tells us about mikvahs is where you're bringing a korban, and the Torah says to bring the following nesachim with the korban. Right? So we talk about the fishes, ahim, la'ayah, and so on. Like that. Those are the mikvahs nesachim. So I'm supposed to bring sholos with that, but there's no keteres. There's no kmita. Since there's no kmita, there's nothing to be matir. It's also, however, possible to make a specific neder. I want to bring a mikvahs nesachim on its own. We'll see in Menachos, we'll see that that's a type of mikvah. But again, it's the equivalent of a mikvahs keteres, because it has no matir. But there's another way in which someone would mind. That is where I'm not bringing it on the same day I'm bringing my Torah. So over there, I can bring it despite the fact that I didn't bring a korban b'matir a Torah. So that's a mincha without imad. But a normal minchas nesachim, when I bring it together with the korban, I'm not able to bring it up on the mizbeach unless I first brought the korban. And the korban is the matir of the mincha. And the mela, the same way the dam is matir, the korban to be brought, the murim, the bus. And so too with matir, the minchas nesachim to be put on the mizbeach. Therefore, only if it's ba'im b'fnei atzman, divrei Rabbi Meir. Because if it's not ba'im b'fnei atzman, it comes together with the behema, then the behema is matir, the evidence of behema is matir, the minchas nesachim. Whereas the chachomim say, since it's possible to bring yitzar, you can't really call the behema a matir. Because a matir means there's no way for me to bring something on the mizbeach unless something else is done. But over here, it's not a din in a matir, a normal matir. It's just that since I'm bringing this because of the behema, so if I didn't bring the behema, I don't bring this. Voraya, if I bring it tomorrow, and it wasn't even around, you're going to say this is matir? You can't be matir something that doesn't exist yet. And yet I can still bring it tomorrow. So you see, it's only a question of what needs to be brought first. But that's not something as a matir. Mamela say the Chachomim. That's not called a matir at all. Therefore, even though they're coming with the behema, we don't view it as matir. Another example of a similar issue is the log shemen shel mitzorah. Now, the log shemen of the mitzorah is used to sprinkle on the mitzorah himself and to use whatever's left over, squish it on his hair, which would have taken care of the Harry Potter hair problem here. Perhaps. I don't think Harry ever tried. I didn't try the shemen of the mitzorah, no. But they tried everything else. So, in any event, that shemen, l'chora, does not have a matir. Rabbi Shimon says that shemen is because of that, not chayav mishum pigo. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, but if it's brought together, so then first you have to bring the dam of the asham, and then your matir the luk shemen. So you have to do the dam first, only afterwards. So that means that the dam of the shemen is matir. So memela, you would be chayav even on the luk shemen. So Rabbi Shimon Amar in chayav en lav mishum pigo, and Rabbi Meir Amar chayav en lav mishum pigo. B'shadam asham matiro, just like Rabbi Meir said before, lagabe the minchat nesachim. You see the parallel. And over here, what Rabbi Shimon is saying is similar to what the Chachamim are saying. Since it doesn't require to be brought together, so memela, it's considered to be a separate. The klal is kol shiyesh lo matirim. Whatever has something that would be matir, whether it's an mizbeach or what bein la adam, whether it's adam that an adam would be able to eat it. For shlomim, there would be a heter both to the mizbeach and to the adam. In the case of an oila, there's a heter also. There's heter of the basar to the mizbeach, the murim to the mizbeach, but the oris to the kohanim. So there's matirim. Separate matirin and separate nitarin. So there, whatever has matirin, whether it's to an adam, whether it's to a mizbeach, chayav en olam mishum pigo. So for instance, ha'ola, some of the carbon oila. The dam of that oila is matir, the basar of the oila to the mizbeach, and it's matir, the or of the oila, to the kohanim, given to the kohanim. The ola ta'of. There's no or over there. But the ola ta'of, the dam, is matir, the basar to the mizbeach. That's sufficient. The chatas ha'of. Now, the chatas ha'of is not put on the mizbeach, but the dam is matir, the buzzer to the kayanim. The parim anisrafim, which are brought bifnim, or levnai velefnim, which were all the cases that we discussed before, par v'ser of Yom Kippurim, the par of Davos Shal Tzibur, the sirei avedes kechavim, the par of the kain mashiach, those are all parim anisrafim, sirim anisrafim, so over there, there's no achila, we just burn it. Nonetheless, the dam is matir de murim likore, figures moving the dayak. In other words, but the din of Srefa doesn't require a matir, and it's only matir la'adam la mizbeach. We don't say Sreif and the Beit Hadeshan is considered to be Dam as Matir Sreif. We only look at the Emurim. So the Emurim are indeed a Nitar through the Dam that's Mat. Rabbi Shimon says that whole thing's a mistake. We know Rabbi Shmita. Rabbi Shimon Shita is that when we learn out of Shlomi, we don't only learn out the Din of Matirin and Nitarim from Shlomi, we also learn out the Kol She'ino Alam Mizbeach Achita Gishlomim Ein Chayavin Alav Mishum Pigo. The only time there's a Chiyav of Pigo is where it matches the model of Shlomi. And part of the model of Shlomim is that it's always on his Be'al Chitzik. Mamela, by definition, you can't have the Purim Devarim HaNisrafim that are brought before him, they can never be bigger. Forget about the question whether they have mother. They don't match Shlomim as a mom. Says the Gemara, Omar Ula, Kometz, Pigul, Shehelo HaGavim Mizbeach, Poka Pigulo Mimeno. Now, what Ula says over here doesn't make any sense. How he says that it doesn't make sense. What he's trying to say by saying it doesn't make any sense. Nothing makes any sense. So don't expect that they should register right away. The Gemara is going to ask, what in the world is he talking about? So first of all, he tries to say something which sounds like a contradiction in and of itself. He says, a Kometz Pigul. There's not such thing as a Kometz Pigul, I thought. I mean, there's such thing as a Kometz Pigul, but not a Gabi Akila, right? In other words, if I did the Kometz in order to be mocked at the Pigul, what does man call that a Kometz Pigul? But not in terms of the Akoras. The reason Mishnah says that the Pigul itself, the Kometz itself, can never be Chai of Akoras because it's a mat. Okay, whatever. So maybe it means the Gabi something else. But the first thing is, even when he's saying whatever he's trying to say because of it, I don't know. But what he's saying is a contradiction. He says, a Kometz Pigul that you put on the Mizbeach loses its din of Pigul. Paka Pigula. Fine, I don't know Lagabi. Lagabi, what does that mean? That it was Paka Pigula. Okay, but whatever it means, he continues by saying something that really doesn't make any sense. And I'll prove to you it must be Paka Pigula. Because Ima Cherim Mevili De Pigul. Look, if it makes other things Pigul, you can be darn sure it makes itself Pigul. Who had smog or koshikin? I mean, now, I don't know what this means either, but whatever it means, it's certainly tending in the wrong direction. You were trying to say it wasn't Pigul, and now you're proving that it is Pigul with a gavul. What are you talking about? My Kamar! This is Imar Kamar. Look, well, he must mean like this. If you're going to argue that since the Kemetz is Pigul, so then you can't put it on the Mizbeach and consider that to be a proper Haktara, and therefore somehow it should lose its din of Pigul, because it's Pigul, so the Mizbeach doesn't have any impact on Pigul. That's not true, because since I need, as we've seen before in the anti-world of Pigul, I need to bring this on the Mizbeach, so obviously it's called Pigul. It's called a Haktara. Because imacherim may be the day pigul, since it needs to be brought, because katarat, the kasher, kach, is the heksher of the apostle also, of the pigul. So if it brings other things, imeno mitkabel, if you tell me, you can't call that a haktorah, after all, it's just pigul. That would be similar to saying what we said yesterday, you can't call that dam, it's just water. No, that's the point. This is the haktorah of pigul. So if this act of haktorah will bring the shirai to the chiev of pigul of courage, obviously it's a good act of Haktorah, in which case it certainly is called Haktorah itself, right? Because imeno mitkabel, if you're saying that's not on the Mizbeach, so then how could it be considered to be Haktorah to be maybe Acherim L'dei Pigul? Heich maybe Acherim L'dei Pigul? Okay, so at least what he's saying makes some sense. But what's the point of what he's saying? I have no idea. Micah Marshall, what do you mean? It's no longer Pigul because it was brought on the Mizbeach. What does that mean in terms of what? I mean, ide en chayavan al mishum Pigul. Is it that, and therefore if you eat it, you won't be chayav at Pigul? That's ridiculous. It's not because of this that if you eat it, you won't be chayav. Mishum Pigul? It's because the Mishnah says, since it doesn't have a matir, it can never be the mitpagel. It can never be the carbon part that's machayev yukareit. What does it have to do with whether it's on the Mizbeach? I don't care if it's on the Mizbeach or not. It's not because it was put on the Mizbeach that it's not Pigul. It's because, now look, the word that the Gemara says, Hanida, Eilu dvarim shen chayovim aleihem mishum Pigul. HaKemetz v'akteretz v'alaveinim minchas kainim minchas kainim mishich minchas esachim v'adam. So the Kemetz is the first things. Don't try to tell me something that the Mishnah, not the problem. Is the word Tanina always means. But it said that already in the Mishnah. But over here it does not mean, but it said that already. It means it said something else. Therefore, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi doesn't have the word Tanina. He has the word Taninan, which is the right word, Taninan, but we learned that these things are not Chayev and Pigul. Now the Shita changes Rashi to read Tanina, because that's what he had in the Gemara, but Tanina is wrong in the Gemara. We should change the Gemara's Tanina to what Rashi has, which is Tanina. Okay? So therefore, the question over here is, don't try to tell me that what the point that Rabbi Shimon is making over, that Ula is making over here, is that, well, if you would have eaten it before you put it on the Mizbeach, you would have been Chayav Pigul. But since it's already on the Mizbeach, so now the shame Pigul is lost. It's ridiculous. There never is Pigul. Anyway, if it wasn't on the Mizbeach, that's really crazy. So then nothing would be Chayav Karsim Pigul. You need to do the Akhtara. Okay, that you can get away with by saying as Rashi did. You took it off of the Mizbeach. It was already on the Mizbeach. You took it off before it was completely burnt, and you ate it. But I don't need Ula to tell me why I'm not Chayav Karet for eating the Pigul of a Kemetz, because a Kemetz can't be Pigul, because it doesn't have a matir. It is the matir. So that can't be the point in Ula, you see? You don't see. I see you looking at me blankly. Catch! Ah! Oh my gosh. Went straight through his chest. I'm sorry. You want to pick it up on the other side? What's the problem? Insufficient pickle juice this morning? Not enough cold air coming down the mountaintop? Oh, that's rich and sour. Yes.
I mean, just trying to process exactly where my problem is.
Give me time to process, but when you're finished processing, let us know. Yeah. And they were wondering why anybody would need more than 64K of memory.
No.
All right, so what could he have meant? That is the question. What could Ula have meant? Says the Gemara, maybe what he meant was, Deim olu lo yerdu. Remember that one of the dinim of something that is roi to the Mizbeach is that even if it's possible, once it's put on the Mizbeach, it's left on the Mizbeach, right? So maybe that's what he meant. Don't worry about taking this thing off of the Mizbeach. Once it's on the Mizbeach, it's not taken off. And don't say, well, that's only if it's roi for the Mizbeach. But Pigel's not roi for the Mizbeach. This is called roi le Mizbeach. For Haraya, if it wasn't roi for the Mizbeach, how could it be called Akhtara and turn all the Shirayim into a Chi of Koros on Pigel? Only because I brought it on the Mizbeach. So obviously, it's roi to the Mizbeach. It doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, but it means that that's called Akhtara. So maybe now we've solved the mystery of Ula. What he was saying, and what he was saying it about. So what he was saying, we understand. He was saying that, look, I'll prove to you that it's an act of Akhtara. What he was saying it about, true, it wasn't about the din, that it's not called Pigel Lagabi eating it, that the Mishnah told us is because of another reason. But maybe it's to tell me the Halacha, that if it was put on the Mizbeach, it's not taken off of the Mizbeach. Maybe that's his only point. No, that can't be his point either. Because Tanina, that it does say in the Mishnah, Beferish, like Ula. But why would Ula have to repeat a Mishnah? Halan, to something that had stayed overnight. It was now not kosher for the Mizbeach. The Ayotze, and it was went out of its Mechitza, and became Posel. That Tame. Or Nishkat Chutz. Oh, here we're talking about Pigo, Chutz is Mano. Or Chutz in the Komo. All of these things, Im Olu Lo Yerda. So I need Ula to tell me a Mishnah? That can't be. Ella, maybe what he means is, even more than that, maybe means, since the Torah considers this to be an act of Haktora, now I understand why you have so many problems with your teeth. You're uprooting all of it. No, it's a bad habit. Yeah. Oh, really? Well, I guess he knows better. Okay. So Ella, maybe the pshat is, it's considered to be Haktora so much that even if he fell off of the Mizbeach, or Kohen took it off by accident to the Mizbeach, he put it back on. Maybe that's what Ula means. That even though normally I won't put Pigel onto the Mizbeach, I say, hey, wait, let's stop right here. And I would never turn the Shirayim into Pigel. Once he's put on the Mizbeach, says Ula, porka Pigulo himeno. And now, even if it was removed, put it back on and finish the Haktora, it's no longer considered to be Haktora of Pasi. Maybe that's what he means. Well, the problem is that Hotanina, it says also in the Mishnah, Kishem Shi'im Olu Lo Yerdu, Kach Im Yerdu Lo Ya'alu. It says in the Mishnah about that case that just as once it's on the Mizbeach, it doesn't go back down, so too, once it came off, you don't put it back on. So certainly it's not telling us something against the Mishnah. Yes, but there's the cases. Ula's talking about a case. Lo Tzricha, Shemashla Behen Ha'ur. Since over here, the fire now has already taken over Rove of the Gomit. That's called Memchallah, now rules over the Gomit. There, even if it fell off of the Mizbeach, it's put back onto the Mizbeach. That's the idea. The problem is that Ula already said that din about that Mishnah, you see. So why would he say it over here about the Gomit? Hanami Amra Ula Chodazimna. Ula already said that once. The Amra Ula Lo Shano Elo Shalom HaShlabehenaur. When do we say Kishem Shim Olu Lo Yerdu Kach Im Yordu Lo Yalu? That's only if there wasn't a Memshela to Ur Beruva. Avo Mashlabe Hena'ur. Once already it was Nimshal, then already Yalu. So why does he have to repeat it over here by the Kamehameha? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Ma'o the Tema, Hane Mile Aver, that's only where you have, let's say, a piece of meat. Okay, a piece of meat is on the Mizbeah, burning on the Mizbeah. Part of it is burned, Ruvay. And the rest of it isn't burnt at all. So, the part that isn't burnt, I should put back up. Yes, it's all one piece. I put the whole thing back up, because most of it is okay. But what are you going to say? A kemetz. A kemetz is little powder, right? So you're saying, well, most of the powder was, whatever was burned was burned. Whatever wasn't burned wasn't burned. I mean, what's the chak say? Most of it is burned. Comes on Gula to say a big chiddush. That since the kemetz, the way that I did that grub of the kemetz, is by isolating the kemetz as a particular thing now, it's considered to all be one thing. And I measure
your bi-roll, even though some of it could be perfectly clean powder that wasn't touched, not even darkened by the flames. It doesn't matter. Most of the comet is burnt, then the whole thing is already considered to be on the Mizbeah. It's down on the floor. Doesn't matter. Put it back on. So therefore, I would have thought, let's see it inside, says the Gemara, I would have thought that's Malditim Aver. An Aver is Mechubar. But a comet, which is all broken up, Mivra, Amalo, Kamashmon, even that, says Rav Achloi, wow, that's amazing. Because what that means is that let's say you put on most of the comets on this Mizbeah, you never put on the other half. You'd now, once the first part burns, even though you have completely fresh comet sitting here on the ground, you would take that comet, you'd have to put it up, because it's already mostly burnt. Because it's all one thing. That's what he's implying. Amar Ravacha. Hilkach, I comet spiegel. De palge, meaning not literally palge, the rove was a. De palge mochi ta'ara. O palge aske amarach. You left half of it down on the bottom, and half of it you put on the zbeah, the rove. Umashla bo ha'ur. Once already the fire now took over, you bring up the rest of it. Because now you're saying, that's the point of the list. This is no longer considered to be pigul, it's considered to be aktaras vash. Oh, now we're back. So now we understand the point of ula, and we understand the impact of the point. Excellent. Anyway, let's move on now to more about this issue. Because there's other things put on the Mizbeah. And other things where the very fact that it's on the Mizbeah is mafia the is. In other words, once the Mizbeah for Shalit on something, so now the Isser putting it on the Mizbeah drops away, or in certain cases, it's an Isser Achila, like when it comes to Notar, or when it comes to Yoite, or Tameh, whatever, those things are Asr Bachila. There, it takes off the Isser Achila, just like by Pigal, there was no Isser Achila, because it doesn't have a Matir. But in different cases, and therefore, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that Pigal, vis-a-vis the issue of Im Yorad Yala, and Noser and Tameh, vis-a-vis the actual Isser of Achila, Nicer and tummy. Once it was held on the Gabi Mizbeach, it's no longer us. Okay, Sermian. Because the Mizbeach already turned it into something new, something else. The food of the Mizbeach. Omrev Chista, Mori, Dechin. What in the world? Who would have said such a crazy thing? Mizbeach Mikvet Arab. But you're telling me something tummy became Tahor. How did something tummy become Tahor as a mikveh? That it was Mashla Bema Ur. That's the point. I'm saying the Mizbeach itself is not going to be, it's going to be Matayar the Tumah. Since no longer Tameh, it's because once the Ur is Nimsha on it, therefore it takes off the issue of Tumah. Oh boy, you just made me think of something, says the Gemara. You call the Mizbeach a Mikvah Taira. Oh man, that's exactly what proves Rabbi Yochanan is wrong. Listen to this. This is great. Listen to this. Most Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bizna, if what you're saying now is, Rabbi Yochanan, that it's the equivalent of a Mikvah Taira, you just jiggled my memory. Because the point is that now you're saying it's possible to take a piece of meat at Tameh, right, and take off the tumor from the piece of meat by putting it on the Mizbeah, and now that meat becomes tahor. So it's the equivalent of a mikveh, as long as Mashal B'Ma'ur, right? The problem is that that happens to be the very issue that proves that we're not talking about Basar, because you can't put it into a mikveh. And you're saying we can put Basar into a mikveh. Remember the famous problem that we had about the Pasuk of the Tumato Alav? Va'nefesh asher tochal basar mizevach Hashlamim. Now, hanefesh means that's lashon nekeva, correct? Hanefesh asher tochal. So when it says, and then it says v'nichrita hanefesh, lashon nekeva, lashon nekeva. Hanefesh asher tochal, v'nichrita hanefesh. And then it says, what did he do wrong? That nefesh, she. What did she do wrong? V'tumato alav lashon zachar. Now, do you think v'tumato alav is a reference to the nefesh, or is it a reference to the baser? Got to be a reference to the baser, because it's better there. It's masculine. If it would have been consistent, it should have said the tumata aleha. And yet, as we well know, that pasuk is really only referring to tumat haguf and not to tumat basar. Because at tumat basar, you will recall, there is no isur karet. There's only an isur lav. So how in the world did we figure out that the tumato alav is a reference not to the basar, but to the person, despite the fact that there was a change in language between masculine and feminine? How did we figure that out? Believe it or not, one way that we figured it out is that the word for tumato, alav, means while its tuma is still on it. What do you mean, still on it? Basar, once tame, always tame. You could never get the tuma off. So it's got to be referring to the person who could have gone into the mikveh and be tahar, therefore the pasuk is saying, well, only if he didn't go into the mikveh. But now you're telling me you could put the basar into a mikveh. I mean, it's a strange mikveh. It's a mizbeach with a fire, but you just called it a mikveh. You just got me thinking. So according to that, we could say maybe it is referring to the tumat basar. And why does it say tumato alav? Well, it's true about the basar also. Only so long as I didn't put it into the mikveh, namely the mizbeach with the yesh to be metaren. And then everything would be consistent. The nefesh is loshen nekeva. The basar is loshen zocher. Tumato alav means that it wasn't yet taken off. You just had to take it off. That's really brilliant, huh? So let's see that inside. Masim Rav Yitzchak Bar Bizna, Acherim Omrim. Since the pasuk says the tumato alav, it's got to be referring to an object that the tuma is parachat mimen, where it's possible to remove the tuma. But that can't be baser, because yatzar baser she'ein tuma parachat mimen. But now you just said, you put it on the mizbeach with the fire, so then harei tumra mimal parachat mimen hayadeya or. All you need is a good enough fire, and there you go. It's now no longer tummy. That's what you said. Omar Rava, well, I didn't mean that. He meant through a real mikveh. I they mikveh come in. Oh, really? It says mikveh in the pasuk. It says v'tumato alav ve'lo halach l'mikveh. That's what it says. It says v'tumato alav. What's the difference how v'tumato alav? Meaning mikveh k'tiv. Where does it say mikveh here anywhere in the pasuk? Doesn't say anything about a mikveh. So now if Rabbi Yochanan is right, this whole thing is a disaster. Because now he just disproved the entire limud of the pasuk. Now it would mean that even tumat basar, there would be a chiyuv of karet. Says Rav Papa, no, a point over here would be that we're only talking about, remember, where's this parasha of Yer? Just like all the parashas of Yer. Pigo is by Shlomim. So is Tuma. All by Shlomim. The basar of a Shlomim cannot be referring to over here of the case where Tuma poracha bimeno. Because that's the equivalent of saying, okay, it's no longer basar. I mean, either it is basar, it isn't basar. It's only on the Mizbeach that once it's mushlava, the whole thing becomes tahor. And the Shlomim doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And therefore, the whole point is irrelevant. You'd be right. If we were talking about a Noila, you'd be right. We're not talking about a Noila. So how could it be? So again, I asked, V'tuma to'alab, and the Tuma is still on this buser. Fine. The Tuma is still on this buser, obviously. If it isn't, it isn't buser. Elamai, you're talking about putting on the Mizbeach. Doesn't go on the Mizbeach. Must be he's not talking about the bus. Must be he's talking about the Oda. V'tuma to'alab, they didn't go to the mikveh. That's the point. But Einachiyami, you're right. If it wouldn't be that the Torah put this at the Parsha Shlomim, we'd really be up the creek with Rabbi Yochanan Lima. So the buser, Shlomim Askinan, Delo Chazi Lahakrava. Ravina Amar. But you don't even have to come on that. It says Vitumato Allah. That means it's Tuma, meaning as is. Not that I have to burn half of it in order to make it Tahor. So when it says Tumato Allah, it's Mish Tumato Rachmi Menukishu Shalem. When it is what it is. Not, it can't be referring to the Basar, where the only way you get it to be not Tame is by turning it into what it isn't. You gotta burn it. So Yotza Basar, where ain't Tumato Racha Kishu Shalem. Ella Tishul Chaser, because it would have to be Mashlaba Ha'ur. Anyway, this Acherim Omrim was only one possibility of how I know that was referring to Matguf and not to Matbasar. You remember we talked about quite a bit in various occasions, and I think in order for us to see it clearly, beautifully, we should take out our trusty Mashim. Well, let us take a look now in Vayikra Tzav, in the Goyish Paragazayin, and here is where we've got all of our interesting information. Move all the way down, we're talking about Torah Zevach HaShlamim, that begins in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and we get in Pasuk Chav, actually, you know what, let's take a look before to get a real picture of the whole thing. Let's take a look at Pasuk Yotet, okay? So there it says, that was the Mokar Pigo, remember? It couldn't be talking about, as Gemara said earlier, that means literally notar, because how could it retroactively make the carbon possible because somebody eats it 3 days later? That doesn't make any sense. It's got to be talking about Pigui, eh? And that's, Hanefesh Ochelet Mimeno Avonat Tisa. That's a reference to Achilles Pigo, and that's a din of Chiyakar Sampigo. Now, we move on to Pasuk Yotet, to a series of psukim that discuss tuma. Now let us carefully look at what these are referring. Habasar asher yiga b'kol tameh. Now here we're clearly talking about the meat, right? So habasar asher yiga b'kol tameh lo ye'achel. You cannot eat that meat of the shlovit that became tameh. Ba'eshi sarev v'habasar. Remember from that word v'habasar, we learned that we extend the concept of basar even to inedibles by kachikibat hakodesh, the whole business. V'habasar kol tahor yochal basar. Only a tahor person can eat basar. But, now here it sounds like we switch gears, right? In other words, we finished talking about the bus. Kol tahor yochal basar, and that's about the bus of the tummy. But, sounds like we're saying, but, if a guy is tummy, v'nefesh eshetochal basar mizevach hashlamim asher l'Hashem v'tumato alav, v'nichrata nefesh ayimi amea. But then we say, wait a minute. But how could it be referring to the person being tummy if the person was described over here as feminine? V'hanefesh, v'nichrata, and the Tuma is referred to on a masculine object, the Tuma do Allah. That was our problem. That's got to be talking about the Tuma and the Basar. So it seems to be saying that there's a din of Achilas Basar Tameh, which is Hayav Karet. Then the next Basar says, V'nefesh ki tigabachol Tameh. Oh, now we're talking about a Nefesh, where the Nefesh, Lashon Nekeva, Tiga, Lashon Nekeva, touches. So here the human touches the Basar, and in that state of tuma, having touched a sheret or a dead person, it went ahead, this nefesh, and akal mipsar zevach hashlamim asher l'Hashem, then v'nichrata nefesh yimei ha'mea. So apparently there's two different issues over here. The first one was talking about tumato alav, and that was a reference to the meat being tummy. Children. The second one was talking about the basar, not the nefesh being tummy. It says perish. We're talking about the nefesh being tummy. And there it says v'nichrata. So apparently both cases are v'nichrata. That is our problem. We are trying to do something that will remove the karet from the tumat basar and say the only time the Torah said karet was where the person was humming. But in order to do that, we've got a problem of the nekeva-zocha relationship here. So the one shot that we saw so far is that the acherim are saying, look, forget about that problem. The bottom line is there's no alternative because it says v'tumato alav. And that means it has to be able to come off in a mikveh and therefore can't be referring to the bus. It's got to be referring to the person. That's what we've said so far. But there are other approaches to why it can't be referring to the bus. It's got to be referring to the person. What are those other approaches? Says the Gemara Guf. Let us take a look at the bright. V'tumato alav, says the bright, that is a reference to tumat haguf, not a reference to tumat basar. Oh, really now? That's what you say. I mean, maybe you didn't read well enough. Maybe it's talking about what it appears to be talking about. Oh, Eina Ela Betumat Basar. Maybe means exactly what it said. We're on the fourth line of the big lines. Maybe it's referring to Tumato Alav, meaning now on the basar. Therefore, says the Tanakama, Nemar Kan, it says in our Pasuk, Vetumato Alav. V'nemar Lahalan, but it also says in the Pasuk of the person who went into the Mishkan, Hashem Tameh, while he was Tameh B'tumat Haguf, it also says Od Tumato Bo V'nichrata Nefesh Ahi. So that Nichrata is Tumato, same word, V'tumato Alav Od Tumato Bo, just like over there, Mal Alam B'tumat Haguf HaKatum Medaber, just like over there in Chukat, it was talking about a person who is Tameh, talking about Tumat Meit over there, and he goes into the Beit HaMikdash while he's Tameh B'guf, and the word, the key word over here is Tumato. So to the Tumatorechi that it's referring to over here is a reference to a Tumat Haguf and not to a Tumat Basar. But there's a different approach to the Acher. Zereshav. What, over there? No, over there it's called Hanogea, right? But it does say V'nichrata HaNefesh Ahi, but it doesn't start with Nefesh. Here it both starts, finishes with Nefesh. Okay. So that's one approach. Rabbi Yossi says there's another approach. The other approach is like this. Hoyil v'nemru kodashim b'lashon rabim. Look, it says basar mizevach hashlamim. Okay? So it refers to the kodashim b'lashon rabim. So if it's referring to the kodashim b'lashon rabim, so then why would it say v'tumato alav b'lashon yachid? It must be referring to the person instead of to the kodashim. So nemru v'tumah b'lashon yachid. So we're talking about the person being talked. V'tumat haguf hakatuv medaber. Rebbe says, now this is a weird. Take a look at this, guys. Look inside the Chumash here. Eric Zion in Vayikra in Tav in Pasuk Kav Aleph. V'anefesh kitiga Zion Kafala. V'anefesh kitiga. This is the next pasuk, the one that made us think that there were two separate Yuvei Karet, one of which was Tumat Haguf. This is definitely Tumat Haguf. It says Nefesh kitiga b'kol tamei b'tumat adam. And then it says V'achal mibisar zevach hashlamim. So that's a reference to the Nefesh that ate b'tumat Haguf. So since the next pasuk is a reference to Tumat Haguf, The first pasuk that started off with Va'nefesh Eshto Tocham Yitzar Zevach Hashlamim Hashel Hashem V'tumato Alav also has got to be talking about, this is ridiculous, also has got to be talking about V'tumata Gufim. If anything, it's the exact opposite. What in the world is Rebbe talking about? The next pasuk indeed says Beferish Ha'nefesh Asher Tigah B'chol Tameh. Obviously, it's referring to V'tumata Guf. The pasuk before, what, is repeating the same thing, in other words? On the contrary, the pasuk before is referring to the other case where the Tumah is on the Basar, not the Tumah is on the Nefesh. So what does Rebbe mean? Okay, we don't know. We'll get to it in a moment. Acherim Omrim, and finally we get to the Acherim, which started off our whole discussion and our interest in this pasuk. Acherim Omrim, since it says V'tumato Alav, it's Dafka Misha Tumah Porachat Bimeno, it's got to be possible to remove that Tumah in a mikvah. Masha'in King Basar, there's no way to remove that Tumah in a mikvah. Okay, can we get back to Rebbe, please, because that didn't make a bit of sense. Omar Mar, Rebbe Amar, V'achal, well, V'achal is talking about B'tumat HaGuf HaKatub B'daber. Huh? My mashma, what in the world does that have to do with the pasuk before? V'tumato Alav, I can't even begin to imagine. Omar Rav, I'll tell you why you can't begin to imagine, my friend. Any pasuk that you didn't hear Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avodimi shot on like this, you'll never understand. He's a genius. He took this pasuk and he let us know what Rebbe was talking about. Kokra, Delom Mefarishla, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avodimi. And any brighter, I'm going to tell you what I'm referring to. This is a crazy brighter. Any brighter that's completely crazy, that you didn't hear the pshat from Rabbi Zira, man, you know nothing. Lo mafarsh. So let me tell you what he said about the pasuk, okay? And now you'll understand how brilliant Rebbe's analysis is. He said like this. He said, take a look at the grammatical structure of the second pasuk, okay? What is the grammatical structure? Ha-nefesh asher, nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh. Is that feminine or masculine? Feminine. V'nichrita ha-nefesh ayi. Is that feminine or masculine? Feminine. The achal mi bizarre. Is that feminine or masculine? Weird baby. Female, male, female. Sounds familiar? Yep. The previous pasuk also was female, male, female. And you claimed, but, I mean, that doesn't make any sense. How could it be female, male, female? Therefore, it must be, despite the fact that everything about the whole context screams that we finished talking about basar, now we're talking about nefesh, but since that makes no sense, because how could it be female, male, female? Well, says Rebbe, look at the next pasuk, where it's Beferish talking about that the person was Tameh, and it also does female, male, female. Aha! So obviously, there's some other reason for the female, male, female jazz, but not to tell me that we're talking about the Achilas Basar when the Basar is Tameh, because obviously in the second pasuk it doesn't mean that. Therefore, you have a right to go back to the contextual meaning, which is that, of course, we're talking about over here that the person is Tameh, not that the Basar is Tameh, and forget about your problem of the act of Achila being masculine, because you're not going to be able to get out of that by claiming we're talking about something else, any more than by saying the Tumato Alav, that the object is masculine and must be the Basar. Not true. The object is the individual who suddenly turns into a Zohar, despite the fact that until now he was a Nefesh and not a Zohar. There you go. So the act or the object is masculine. The impact is the Nefesh, which is feminine. Whether it's in terms of the tumor or in terms of the karet, beautiful. The last point is that the object, the physical object, is masculine. The physical verb takes place in the world as something masculine, because those are the things that do things, you know. They're like the scattered nothingness. But the real thing is feminine. So the nefesh, that's feminine. The nichrata of the nefesh is feminine. But when it comes to acting upon the earth, you have your little male action. So they are the achals, and they are the objects of the tumato alav. But in real terms, what happens to the feminine as. Got that, Rich?
Perfect.
Great.
It happens only to the feminine as.
That's right. Richie has been displaying his feminine as there. Beautifully. Yes, indeed. Maybe we should ask him for a belly dance. No, nefesh is lashon nekeim. Nefesh asher tigah. It's not. But when it turns into an object, it's masculine. Or when it turns into a verb, it's masculine. A nefesh doesn't do things. A goof inhabited by a nefesh does. So therefore, it's masculine. But the impact is on the nefesh that infuses the goof. The nechrita. So Rebbe's pointing out that this is exactly the pattern of the next pasuk. Why wouldn't that be the meaning of the first pasuk? It's really beautiful. And now it's mamish beautiful, beautiful. Okay, that's what Rebbe meant. And now you heard an explanation by Rav Yitzchak Avodimi. Bar Avodimi, now you know how to read a pasuk properly. That's what Rebbe was referring to. He thought we'd be smart enough to understand it on our own. Thank God for Rav Yitzchak Bar Avodimi and for with you. Yes, that's true. Could be referring to the human being that is infused with this nefesh, of course, just as here. In other words, if we're talking already about a way in which the individuals in Beis Yaakov are mitchalek, as nefeshot, for sure. Okay. In any event, we're only looking at this pasuk. Our president looks at Kol HaTorah Kula. We need to refuse to have redeeming to deal with him. Oh my God. Now, when I said, and any brayta that is not explained by Reb Zeiri, you'll never understand. You know what I was referring to? You don't, but you will tomorrow. Ve'elu devarim she'in chayavin aleihem mishum pigu. Hakemetz, v'akteres, ve'alavena. And therefore it's considered to be matirin. So the oil law. Damas matir besor al mizbeach, matir ora al kohanim. The olata of damas matir besor al mizbeach, chatata of the damas matir besor al kohanim. The porim anisrafim, the sirim anisrafim. You think just because it's burned, they don't have a matir? Not true. Daman matir to emurehem lekarev. Rabbi Shimon Amar, none of those are included because koshe ino al mizbeach hakitzon kishlamim. They don't fit the model. And therefore, ain't chayavin alav mishum pigul amar ula. Kemetz pigul, she'elah agabeya mizbeach, paka pigulu mimena. Ima cherim mevili de pigul, lua atzmolo koshikeng. My koma. Ochi koma. Im eno mitkabel, heich mevili cherim de pigul. So it must be a kosher akavaktor. Okay, we'll accept that. But vis-a-vis what? I mean, so. My kamashman, so. If the so is the in chayav la mishum pigo, that's ridiculous because the mission said to nina neil dvarm shen chayav la mishum pigo anyway. Kemetz and kteres, I mean, I can say that they're all for this reason. The reason is because they don't have a matir. Kemetz, kteres, levena, minchas kene, minchas kene, mashiach, minchas asochim, adam, has nothing to do with poka pigulo, my friend. Ela is your chiddush that so imolu lo yerdu, as a fresh mission. Tanina. Alan, Bayotse, Vatameh, Vishadishkat Chutzazman, Avrotzim Bekomo, Im Olu Lo Yerdu. So, is it that even if they were Yerdu, they're Yalu? Maybe that's what you're trying to say. Im Yerdu Yalu? That's part of the same Tanina, dear. That Kishem Shimalu Lo Yerdu, Kachim Yerdu Lo Yalu. How do you see that? Ah! But here it's talking about Im Yerdu Yalu because Mashla Behena'ur. Yeah, the thing is that can't be what Ula means to say, because he already said that. He said that on the Mishnah. Hanami Amru Ula Chonazimna. The Amru Ula Lo Shana Ula Shalom Mashlaba Hena'ur. Ava Mashlaba Hena'ur. Yalu. Ah, the Madatema Hanimili Aver. Aver is all one thing, so it's Mikhba. But a Komet, which is Mifrat, Imala, Kamash Malan. Amru Ava Choy, Hilkok, Hai, Kemet's Pigo. The Palge Machita Ara, Upalge Aske Amarocha, once it was Marshal Ba'or, bring up the whole thing and Masik the Balakula, even the Katkhila. Omer of Yitzhakaber of Yoga, Apigova notar viatame, Shealan the Gabe Mizbeach, Poka Isermian. Omer of Chista, Mori de Chi. What in the world? Who would have said such a crazy thing? Mizbeach mikveh ara, but you're telling me something tamei became tahor. How did something tamei become tahor as a mikveh? Omar Rabbi Zera, what we're talking about over here is mashlaba hen haur. Moshe Rabbi Zera bisna. If that's the case, then we have a mikveh for baser. But achirim omri v'tumato alav misha tumah barachah bimeno yatzah baser she'in tumah barachah bimeno. And now you just showed me. That if you're right, imita aretuma parach rimeno ayadei aur. Wow. Omar Rabbi, well, it means ayadei mikveh kamrin. Oh yeah, right. Midi mikveh ktiv, el amr of papa, but since we're talking about the shlami maskin, and all chazilak rava. Ravina amar, it's very simple. Vetumato alav means as is. So it has to be tuma parach rimeno kushu shalem. So if a person goes into a mikveh, he remains as is, but the basar, the tumah won't be parach l'menach v'shur shalem, will have to be burned. Then it's chaser. Gufa. V'tumato alav, we're talking about tumata gufa katuv laber. Oh, you say we're talking about tumata guf? But, I mean, the meaning of the pasuk seems to be v'tumat basar. No. Because nema kan v'tumato alav, v'nema lahalam v'biat mikdash o tumato bo, ma lahalam v'tumata guf hakatuv medaber, af kan v'tumata guf hakatuv medaber. Rabbi Yossi says, you don't need a gzera shava. Ho v'nemru kochim v'loshen rabi, v'nemru tumah v'loshen yochid, tumato, it must be referring to something else. It must be referring to the person. V'tumata guf hakatuv medaber. Rabbi Omer, v'achal, in the next pasuk, is referring to tumata guf. Acherim amru v'tumato alav mi shetumah porachet mimenu yatzah basar she'in tumah porachet mimenu. Omar Mar Rebbe Omer v'yachal b'tumat haguf hakatuv medaber. My mashma Omar Rava ha kol kra delo mefarsh le Rebbe Yitzchak bar Avadimi v'chol matnit delo mefarsh le Rebbe Zeirei lo mefarsh. Let me tell you how Rebbe Yitzchak bar Avadimi. Now you'll see how to read a pasuk, man. The siyem b'lashon nekeva, and smack bang in the middle is lashon zachar be'emsa, then that must be the pattern of these two psukim. And then b'tumat haguf hakatuv medaber.
The following is the daf from the previous daf yomi cycle. The following things you would not be chayav on if you ate them, al spigul. And the following are all different things that have one have one element in common. That which they have in common is that they do not have anything that is matir them. They are the matir. And since we learn out the halacha of pigul, of the chiyuv of pigul from Shlami, and what it says over there is the achila of that which was hutar, so to speak, the iser. Remember that the klal on pigul is that only a korban that is brought completely bekashrus, except as an anti-korban, so to speak, as a pigul. Pigul is not a psul like other psulim. Other psulim, just the korban is not kosher. Pigul is unique in that it creates the antithesis of the korban, and it therefore is mechayev yukaras on eating it. But because of that, it can only be pigul if it is brought completely behechsher. If it's brought in any way with a different psul, then it's just a pasul korban, like any other korban. The only thing that can go wrong with it is the pigul itself. And when I say pigul in this context, I mean dafka chutz l'zmanu. Chutz l'mekayme Yazori does not have this concept of being the antithesis of a korban, and this mechayev koras. It's just like the psul, for instance, of shelo lishmo, which just is not a kosher korban, but it's not actively and antithetical to korban. Now, in the parsha of Shlomi, when we learn out these halachas, the chiyuvim come on something like botzer regurim. Those are things which themselves have something else that was matir them, either to the mizbeach or bachilas adam, so that the dam is matir, the botzer, the dam is matir, the emurim, the komitz on a mincha is matir, the mincha, the same way that the dam is matir, the levona is matir, the mincha. But the things themselves which are the matirim, such as the dam or the komitz, those things we never find that there should be a chiyuv of pigul on. It's only where I did the pigul to them, but not where they are the things that are necessary to make the korban kosher for its pigul. Remember that we even had a concept of doing the right thing for the wrong thing on Shabbos, right? We said even if it's done dafka be'isra, dafka mean beheter, means kechshera le pigul. Could even mean. We'll use the word hefsher for pigul. So therefore, the following things you're not chayav because of pigul, even though they are pigul, but they themselves are the matirim. And that as the matirim, they are chayav if you eat them at pigul, they are what's chayav for eating the thing that they're being matir for pigul. So let's say if you eat the komets, and the komets is matir the mincha, but the komets itself being pigul,
You're not going to become chayev on eating it. Or the keteres. The keteres don't have a separate matir. They are the carbon. The lavona. The lavona itself is a matir. Nothing else is matir. The lavona. Minchas kohanim. What's unique about a kohen's mincha, of course, is that there's no separate kmitza that's brought. The minchas kohen is brought entirely on the mizbeach. Therefore, it doesn't have a piece of it that's matir the rest of it. It is the carbon. In the same way that the keteres is the carbon. Minchas Kohen Mashiach refers to the Chavitim, which is also a complete carbon in and of itself. It doesn't have separate parts. The Dam, they themselves are the Matir. The Nisachim should now, these Nisachim, here we have a little bit of Malachlokas. Because the truth is, there's two ways to bring the Nisachim. The Nisachim are the oil and the wine and the soda that's brought afterwards. Sometimes you bring the Nesachim with the carbon, which is the mitzvah, to bring it with the carbon. Lamaise, if you didn't bring it with the carbon, you bring it a couple of days later also. It doesn't matter. Samahat. There's also Nesachim that you bring as a carbon. You donate a Munchas Nesachim. And that's one of the Menachos. Now here, Rabbi Meir says, Nesachim haba'im b'tnei atzman. Over there, there's no other matir. They're brought on the Mizbeach, period. So therefore, there's no chiyuv on eating them if they were brought as pigul. But if they were nesachim that were coming with the carbon, Rabbi Meir views the nesachim as having been nutar al yedei the carbon. So whatever is matir the carbon, so the dam that's matir the carbon is also matir the nesachim because they're coming for the carbon,
right?
And therefore, they have matirin. Yes, it's only if you were trying to be mefagel to eat something which is not the derech to eat. Simcha. Meaning joy, not right? It's only if you were mefagel, let's say you had in mind to eat something which was meant to be on the mizbeach. You didn't say, or vice versa, you're going to be mocked or something was going to eat. But the thing itself, that's not to be confused with the issue of once the carbon is pigo, what it is that you're going to be chayev for eating. You hear clearly the difference. Our president. If not, I'm happy to explain it again.
I understand that the thought of the fact that
when
you eat something which is not
edible. No, the thought to eat something which is not edible is not mefagel. But once the carbon, we say not edible, we mean not meant to be eaten. But once the carbon is pigo, then that thing which was meant to be put on the mizbeach, if I eat it, I'm also chayev on. It's a different issue. There are many things like this. Remember, it's very easy to get mixed up in pigo because we have the four avodas. You have to be thinking on that avoda about a matir, right? Or about a haktara. So that's not the same thing as thinking at the haktara, which will not do a darn thing, but thinking at the shechita about the haktara does do something. So the quality, we have to keep separate in pigo what the makshava was, when the makshava was, and what the chiyuv is for that which has turned into pigo. There's three completely different things, and they have totally different sets of criteria. That's a different issue to be seen. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the achilas nisah. The kachamim say, what's the difference? Even if they're nisachim that are being brought with the behemoth, it doesn't mean that it's the behemoth that's matir them. Because ba'araya, they can be brought separately also. So you see that they're not linked directly to be nitorim to the mizbeach through the behemoth. Therefore, there's really no difference. And in either event, we're saying that they would be their own separate carbon. They don't have a matir. They don't have a separate matir. Luk shemen shel mitzorah. Furthermore, the luk shemen that's brought together in the mitzorah does not have a separate matir. At least according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Amrein chayavim alav mishum pigul because it's a separate carbon. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, no, not true. It has a matir. The matir is the dam that's matir. The osham is matir, the shemen of the mitzorah. So therefore, Rabbi Meir omer chayavim alav mishum pigul. Since it has matirin, shadam ha'asham matiro, v'kol sheyesh lo matirin, bein la'adam, bein la'mizbeach, chayavin alav mishum pigul. Whatever has matirin either for achilas adam or for achilas mizbeach is considered to be something that once the korban becomes tigel, you would be chayav on eating it. Ha'ola, so therefore, let's say the korban ola. A korban ola, the dam of the ola is matir the basa to the mizbeah. It's matir the or of the ola to the kohanim. An ola sa'ov. So the ola sa'ov doesn't have or, but its dam is matir the basa to be put on the mizbeah. Echat sa'ov, where nothing is put on the mizbeah, but the dam is matir the basa for the kohanim. The parim hanisrafim. The seirim and israfim say, well, what's it going to be matzah there? They're just going to be burned outside of the Beis HaMikdash. No, because the dam there is matzah, the emurim, to be karuvim on the Nizbeach HaKitza. Still have to bring emurim. So therefore, all of these cases would be typical cases of pigul and would be chayim. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, there's one case I disagree with. And that's that closing case about the israfim. Because I say, remember that the entire basis of the halacha of pigul is learned from shlamim. We mentioned this at the beginning of the sefer. Many, many dinim make their appearance in the parsha of shlamim. Therefore, shlamim serves as the model. And since shlamim is brought on the mizbeach, so too, only those korbanos where the netinas dams and mizbeach hakitzon, those are the things in which there's a fee of pigul. But the fact that there's a matir is not sufficient to make it pigul. It has to be a matir similar to the matir of shlamim. So he argues on all cases of purim or seirim hanisrafim. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula. Now Ula wants to say a very interesting chiddush. That if you went ahead and you took the komets, and you could be mafaga with a komets, correct? You don't have to be mafaga with a komets. There's other things you can be mafaga with. If you're bringing a mincha, so then when you do the kmitza, or you put on the komets, those things are similar to the shechita, doing the act of kmitza, similar to the shechita, putting the komets on is similar to the zvikas adam, as we'll see when we get to the office. But when you take that komets, which is pigul, and you put it on the mizbeah, what happens is she'alah agave ha-mizbeah faka pigulo mimenu, the pigul that was on it disappears and there's no longer a chiv of pigul. Now we're going to ask agave, what does it disappear? And I'll tell you why, says Ula. And now he says something that doesn't seem to make any sense at all. Ima chelim mevili de pigul hu'atzmelo roshike. If it makes other things pigul, it should certainly make itself pigul. Now, that has nothing to do with the argument that he just... I mean, he was saying it loses its been a pigul. Now he's saying if it makes other things a pigul, it should for sure be a pigul. Says the Gemara, my Gemara, what the heck is he talking about? He's making a very cogent argument. What he's saying is like this. Im eino mitzkabel. It doesn't make any sense to say that it itself is now considered to be pigul. Because the fact is, in bringing this komets, you are going to be mafagel the rest of the korban, right? But if it's already itself osur, so then it isn't a kosher komets. So how could it make everything else pigul? Because you can only be mafagel when you do everything right. And over here, the komets wasn't kosher. Therefore, we're forced to say that even though it itself may be pigul, but once you put it on the mizbeach, in the same, that's the argument is making. If it brings other things to pigul, so then it's got to be a kosher komets. So atzmelo kosher kein. It's kosher kein, therefore, it itself is something that is right for the mizbeach. And therefore, I say, its din of pigul has now collapsed. Now, okay, fine. But in terms of what? What exactly is Ula trying to tell us? My kamashba. Tell me what he means when he says, Taka pigul, pigul has disappeared. Let's say he means what? Idein chayav en olav mishum pigul, that if you eat it, you're not going to be chayav koris. Is that what he's telling us? We know that. It says in our Mishnah, anyway, you're not chayav for eating a komets, because for another reason. Because it's a matir. And something that is a matir and doesn't have something else that's matir, you're never chayav a pigul anyway. So there's not much of a chiddush in saying Taka pigul. So Tanina, we just said in our Mishnah, in Levon, Shein chayav olav mishum pigul ha komets. But Torah Balabani Manifestakamis, Karma Shiach, and so on, and Adam. So it can't mean that. Ella, maybe his Kiddush is that Im Alu Lo Yerdu, that if you put the Komets on the Nizbeah, that you don't take it off of the mizbeach. I mean, hey, wait a minute, don't put on that comment, it's tegel. Say, well, I already put on the mizbeach. Well, that's a general halacha. The din is that tanina halan, hayotse, vatame, vish nishkat chutzizmano chutzlamikoma. Now, nishkat chutzizmano is tegel. Im alu lo yedu. Once they're put on the mizbeach, they're not taken off the mizbeach. So I don't need Ula to tell me a Mishnah, do I? So if Ula's coming to tell me this Mishnah, I don't need him. If Ula's coming to tell me the Mishnah of Im alu lo yedu, I don't need him. Ella, what's he coming to tell me? Ze'im yardu ya'alu. That if now it falls off the mizbeach, we should put it back on the mizbeach because it's no longer pigol, it's like a regular kosher komets. It happens to be that it says the opposite in the Mishnah, amitnina. Kishem she'im alu lo yardu, kachem yardu lo ya'alu. But then it's not like that. But then is that if it fell off of the mizbeach, it's not put back on the mizbeach. Lo tzricha shemashla behem ha'ur. You know what, the case must be that what Ula is referring to is that in a case where the fire of the Mizbeach already had begun burning most of this Kometz, that in that case, even if Yardu, Yalu. And that's what he meant. Poka, Pigula's left. No, can't mean that either. Because Hanani Amra Ula Chadazim, Ula said that anyway in a different context. Because Ula explained the Mishnah of Kishem Shimolo Lo Yerdu, Kachim Yardu Lo Yalo, he explained it by saying the following, Losh, I mean, when do we say that aloha? That we don't put them back up on the Mizbeah, Elishalom, Mashla, Behem, and Ta'ur. The only time we say that is when the fire on the Mizbeah did not start burning most of the material of a Mashla, Behem, Ta'ur. Once already it's caught fire, so then even if it falls off, Yalo, you do put it back on, so he said that. So that couldn't be what he means here, because he already said that in context on that Mishnah. Ah, no, but you see, I still need him to say it over here. Because where he said it there on the Mishnah later on in Yerdu Lo Ya'alu, it was referring to a Borim. Now, I could easily have thought, if I would have heard what, even though he said Mashla Bama'ur over there, I could easily have said Ma'adu Tema. I might have thought that Hani Mili Eivir. The Nikbar, look, I mean, understand an Aver is an Aver. It's one thing, it's one piece. So if the Ur starts to burn, most of it, the rest of it is all, it's all put on. I mean, again, what am I going to do? I can't look at each molecule as being a different thing. Mashen can have comets. Comets of a Mincha is little tiny pieces, separate pieces. So why should I say most of it is, I mean, whatever is burning is burning, whatever isn't burning isn't burning. But why should I put it back on the Mizbeach? Aim alone. Therefore, Kamashman comes along Ula to tell me that the Im Yerdu Lo Ya'alu is defined only if Lo Mashla Be'ma'ur, even when it comes to a comet. But if it's Mashla Be'ma'ur, the din over here is not the physical fact that we have one piece of thing that is burning. It's rather the halachic description of something that was already put on the Mizbeach. And since the comet has one classification, it's considered to be a single unit in terms of the halacha requires kmitza, putting on the bring makta the kmitza. So therefore, if mashla behemahur, I would be chayav put it back on even though it fell off. Well, Rav Achai, says, you know what follows from that? What follows from that is a very fascinating thing. That let's say a komets of pigel, I only put up half of it. The Pagi Makis Arapagi Aske Amaro, that brought up half of the comet plus a little. They put it on there. The rest of it was down at the bottom on the ground. Umashla Bawa'ur, and now the part that's on the Mizbeach started to burn. Masikna Elukula. I should put the rest of it up on the Mizbeach, even though it was never on the Mizbeach. Because what Ula is saying is that the definition of a comet being put on the Mizbeach is a halakhic definition, not a physical definition. So if I put the comets on the Mizbeach, what's the difference whether I put this piece of comets on the Mizbeach? I put the comets as defined by rules of the comets, put on the Mizbeach. So now I put the rest of it on the Mizbeach as if it was already there, even though it was pigul. Huh? Yeah, frivolous in it.
The comet is a single...
No, the comet is made up of the tiny pieces, but it's a single handful.
One handful.
Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak quotes Rabbi Yochanan as taking Ula's mimer a very big step further than Ulla himself did. Remember that Ulla made a Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer was, if the Kometz helps to make the other things Pigel, so it should certainly help to be kosher itself, because it's being makshir the whole Kometz. How could it not be kosher itself, right? Now that only makes sense in terms of Pigel. That's not a general statement. I mean, because you can't say, if a Kometz was Tame, kosher gain, it's okay when something's there, but why would a kosher gain be okay? There's no Kal Vachomer when it comes to Tumah. The only Kal Vachomer is when it comes to Pigel. Nonetheless, comes along with Yochanan, this is a remarkable thing. A Pigel, okay, fine, a Pigel we understand, but he said even Nosa, that means the Basar that was actually left over beyond its kosher time. Or the Basar's Tame. It's not allowed to be put on the Mizbeah. Once you put it on the Mizbeah, Shehayalan Lagam Mizbeah, Poka Yisur Man. The Isser has disappeared from that thing that you put on the Mizbeah. Omer of Kisra, Kisra went wild when it married the people. Who the heck owned that one? You know, who came up with that? Notice this, Mizbeah, Mikvah, Tyro, whatever. I have something coming, I put it on the Mizbeah, magically it's like I put it in a Mikvah or something. And it becomes Tahor. How in the world does that work? I certainly can't apply the same Kal Vachomer that I applied by Pigel. I can't apply it now to Tame and to Noza. Omar Rebbe Zera Shemashalah Bahen Ha'ur. What it's talking about over here is where it already started burning. And once it starts burning, it's considered to be Lachmashal Mizbeach, and it loses the shame of Basar Tame. It loses the shame of Basar Noza. Now, the Shita points out that if that's true, then Ulla didn't need his Kal Vachomer. Because the only thing Ulla ended up telling us anyway was that if it went onto the Mizbeach, the Marshal of Ulla, and it falls off, you put it back on. And now Rabbi Yochanan is willing to say that that's the case, even the Gavi things where there's no Kal Vachomer, like Tuma or like Nosa, right? So then the Gemara is very strange, because it ends up taking Ulla's Kal Vachomer, applying it to a case where it doesn't need to be applied anyway. Because for Haraya, we would apply it without a Kal Vachomer, just because that's fine. That once something starts to burn, it becomes lach mashal mizbeach. We'd say that even the Gavi Tuma and Nisim. So the Shita wants to say that actually everything is based on Ulla's Kal Vachomer. Because if we hadn't seen somewhere that it's true, we wouldn't have said it mitzad ha'sfarah. But once we come up with this Kal Vachomer, we've basically proven that Pigel that's put on the Mizbeah ceases to be Pigel. Now we have to think to ourselves, so how does that work? B'diavad, after Mashla ben Ha'ur. But how does that work? It means even now it falls off, I put it back on the Chatzilah. Why? So therefore, I come to the conclusion that there must be a concept of Lach Meshal Mizbeah. Having proven that concept through the Kal Vachomer, I can now use that as a general concept, and therefore it would apply also to Tuma and to Noser. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is doing. But it's not that we're saying that we no longer need Ulla's insight into the din of Kamit Shel Pigel. Moshe Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna. Now Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna has a fascinating question about right on this Maimer. Listen, that's a brilliant question. Brilliant question. We have, you know what, I think it's even, well, bring me please the Tamar or the Vayikra. We have a very unclear Parsha in the Torah that talks about Tuma. And the reason I think it's unclear is because it's confusing about whether it is referring to the, thank you very much, to the Tuma of an individual, or whether it's referring to the tuma of the meat that the individual is eating. So what it says over there, and once again, in the middle of the Parsha of Shulamim, listen carefully to what it says. V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tameh lo ye'achel. Meat that touches anything tameh shall not be eaten. Ba'esh yisarev shall be burned in the fire. Okay, now that's clearly a reference to the basar itself. Then it continues on to say, Vabasar, kol tahorio kal basar. Any tahor person should eat the basar. Now that's a reference to the individual, how he is. Is he tameh or is he tahor, right? Having made that statement, it now goes on to speak very vaguely. V'hanetesh asher tochal basar, mizevach ha-shlamim asher la-shem, v'tumato alav, v'nichrata ha-nefesh ha-yimei-ameha. The soul which will eat basar from the Zevach HaShlamim, what the heck? The Tumato Alav, now what does the Tumato Alav mean? Tumato Alav means, and the Tum'ah is on the basar, or does the Tumato Alav mean the Tum'ah is on the individual? If you pay close attention, you'd come to the conclusion that's got to be referring to the basar. Why? Because it begins in Lashon Nekeva. A nefesh asher tochal v'tumato alav. Now how can it be tochal v'tumato alav, right? And then it goes back to v'nichrita, which is Lashon Mekeva again. So what it seems to be saying is a nefesh that eats basar mizevach ha-shlamim v'tumato alav on the basar v'nichrita nefesh ahi from having done the isser of eating that basar. It happens to be that that's not true. But we'll see in a moment. Vanefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh. Now here it says somebody who touches something tameh, either b'tumat adam or b'beimat tameh or b'chol sheketz tameh. V'yachal mi b'sar zevach ha-shlamim asher la-shem. Now here it's talking about the person touched the tuma. Hey, but get this again. It says v'yachal. Whoops. That's Lashon Zachar again. So apparently the Torah now is switching between Lashon Zachar and Lashon Nekeva, even though it was in the, here it's clearly talking about HaNefesh Ki Tiga, the person touches something that's Tameh. Then he goes ahead and eats. And then it switches back to Lashon Nekeva again. V'nichrita HaNefesh HaYimei HaMea. So now what was that first pasuk referring to then? So it's not clear. And here, comes along, as we'll see, one of the analyses of this pasuk says, okay, let's look at that pasuk again. Nefesh asher tochal basar mizevach ha-shlamim asher la-shem v'tumato alav. And you want to suggest that's a reference to tumato alav, to the basar. I'll prove to you that it cannot mean the basar. Why? Because tumato alav means the tuma is still on it. Now, you can only talk about the tumah still being on it if you're talking about a human, because a human can go to the mikveh and get rid of the tumah. But if you're talking about the basar, what do you mean the tumah to Allah? But you just say tameh. I mean, basar either is tameh or not. You can't take the tumah off. You can't take basar, put it in a mikveh and make it tameh. There's no such thing. So therefore, the tumah to Allah must be a reference to the individual, even though it switched from Lashon Zachar to Lashon Mekeva. No way out of it. Ah, it comes along with this, but there is a way out of it. Because you've just told me that there's a way to take off tumah from basar. That's why that's the purpose. It's the mizbeach. It becomes a mikvah tahira as long as it was burning. Aha. So therefore, it would mean tumato alav on the basar. It's still tameh, meaning it hasn't been put on the mizbeach and started to burn. There you go. So that proves that you're wrong. And that when Rabbi Yochanan said that the basar becomes tahor once the marshal is tahor, that's not so. Because we see clearly that we dark in the pot, we'll see it's the sheet that Rabbi Meir got here, that says that tumat olav can't possibly be a reference to the basar. It has to be a reference to the person. Because let's see that inside. Mostly, Rabbi Yitzchak Bisa, Acherim Omrim, the tumato olav, the very words, the tumato olav, prove that it's a reference to the person and not to the basar. Because it has to mean misha tuma porachat mimena. It has to be somebody who could have lost his tuma, but didn't. So it's tuma to alav, it's still on him. Meaning that he could go to the mikvah. The imita, if you would be, and that's not true about basar, but imita, if you, Rabbi Yochanan, would be right. Hare tuma porachat mimena ayadeh. It would be possible to make basar tar. Namely, putting it on his back and letting it burn. Amar Rava, Rava says, well, come on, that's not fair. I mean, Tumato Alav means with a mikveh. I mean, a mikveh come in. Oh, it does. I mean, I suppose you read mikveh. I mean, it says mikveh all over this pasuk, doesn't it? Meaning mikveh, Steve? What does it say? Think about mikveh. All it says is the tumah tohara. What's the difference? How I would get the tumah off of it? Where'd you get that from? Elo amar papa. Because the papa. No, because look, what was the pasuk a reference to? The pasuk was a reference to baser shlamim. But it was, so what does it mean? That what? I'll take the baser shlamim and put it on the mizbeach. Baser shlamim is in right for the mizbeach. You can't have a mashal ma'or, a baser shlamim. Therefore, in the context of which it appears in the pasuk, that chayim, remember, correct. There's no way to take the tumah off of this baser. Because baser shlamim doesn't go on a mizbeach. So what's wrong? It's a good, it's a very fine deal. Ravina says, well, that's, it's not really true, you know. Because the fact is that the pasuk says Mizbeach HaShlamim Asher LaHashem, and as we'll see, we darshan that Asher LaHashem to be marba also even a murim that do belong on the Mizbeach. So it's all very nice to pretend that we don't, but we do. So bottom line is there is a way to darshan this, that it should be Tumah Tohara to be referring to a person. So there's got to be a different solution. I will tell you what the different solution is. But tumato alav is a reference to the way the thing is. Meaning, the way it is right now, you have a piece of meat, the tumah is on this meat, and it's still on this meat. That's what you're trying to say. And you want to say, okay, yeah, that's still on this meat because I can remove it. How can you remove it? By putting it in the fire. But then it's not the meat as it is currently, is it? I mean, it's half burnt up. So that's not the tumato alav. Tumato alav means in its current status, what it is, as a piece of meat, unburned, it would still be possible to talk about it as if, does it still have its tumor, doesn't it have its tumor? And that's not possible. Even Ayodhei Meshila Sa'ur, because then it's not what it is. So it's got to be referring to the person. So let's see that inside. The tumato alav implies Misha tumah porachat mimenu kishahu shalem. It's only if it could possibly lose its tumor in its current shlemut, in its current full, whole piece, whereas Yatza Basar, which aim to matoparakhu shashalem, the only way to get, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only way to take off its tumah is by burning it, and then it's not it any longer.
But it only became tumah when it's in pieces.
Yeah.
So then why shouldn't it be able to become tumah when it's only in pieces?
No, because that's what the Torah said. Gufa.
But if it loses its tumah when it's in pieces, it's also
a... But it's not the same piece. So that can't be what we're referring to. It's got to be referring to the person. The person can lose his tumah by going to the mikveh.
The idea that it's losing its tumah is accepted.
Yeah. So therefore, we can accept it. It lost its tumah, but it doesn't change the understanding of the pasuk as being a reference to a person and not to a piece. So, good. So let's look again at that because there were a number of different shitas that explained the pasuk for tumah to'alav as a reference to the individual. So it says in the Braisa Betumat Haguf Fakatum Medaber, the word Betumat Allah of God is referring to an individual whose stomach, not to a piece of meat that's stomach. Well, you say so. Atalmer Betumat Haguf. Why should I believe it? Alainel Betumat Basar. Why not say Betumat Basar? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Nemar Kan Tumato, it says over here in this parasha of the Shlamim and the Basar Tam, it says the word Tumato. But it also, as Nemar Lahalan, it also talks about later on in Chukas, which is talking about over there coming into the Beis HaMikdash when you're Tameh. So it says over there, Od Tumato Bo. So the same way, Tumato Bo, here it says Tumato Alav. Now just like over there, Malahalan B'Tumata Gufa Katzuv Medaber, Havkan B'Tumata Gufa Katzuv Medaber. The words Tumato Alav, B'Tumato Bo are clearly a reference to the same thing, to the individual who's Tameh. That's the first approach. Rabbi Yossi Amir. Rabbi Yossi says, I have a simpler approach that you can read it directly in from the pasuk. Look, it starts, the pasuk starts off talking about the kachin, b'lashon rabbi. Because, I mean, it's talking about the shalomim, okay? Now, those shalomim is a lashon rab. And suddenly it switches to Lashon Yochid, Tumato Alav. So the Tumah says the Lashon Yochid. Well, who's the Alav? The Alav, I mean, I can refer to Shlamim as Alav. You would say Alehim. the tumato aleihem. Therefore, but there's a law that's got to be a change in antecedent, and the change is a reference to the person as opposed to the korbanot. So, tumata katuv v'katuv medaber. Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, well, it says v'achal, doesn't it? Now, achal has got to be referring to tumata guf. We'll see why. Everyone's going to ask, why do you say that? Acherim omrim, this is what we had before, but tumato alav is a reference to misha tuma porakat bimenu, only someone who can get rid of the tuma, because alav means it's still there. Yatsa basar, which can't be a reference to the meat, because there's no way to get rid of the tuma. Shein tuma porakat. Now let's go back and analyze what Rebbe Shita is. Oh my man. Rebbe omer v'achal, Bitumat haguf hakatuv medaber. Now, how the heck did you get to that? I mean, v'achal just says that you eat it. It doesn't say what tamei. Is the food tamei or you tamei? How does the word v'achal mean that it's talking about tumat haguf? It's absolutely esoteric. Amar Rava says, Rava, you know, this is an example. My shita is that when you've got a potek that Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi hasn't sunk his teeth in and explained it to you. You don't know what you're talking about. You know? And Kol Krod, along the fire of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, or any brisa that Ze'iri wasn't Mefarish, that has never been Mefarash, Shlomo Farish. And for all intents and purposes, not Mefarash. Let me tell you, man, you want to hear a pshat, let me tell you Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi's pshat in this pasuk, according to the way Rebbe's understanding it, then you'll get a dose of really joy on Pesukim. Now look, he says like this. Hachi Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Ho'il upataka katuv b'lashon nekeva, v'siyem b'lashon nekeva, v'lashon zachar b'emtza, b'tumat haguf medaber. The fact is that the Pesuk is very confusing because it keeps changing its gender, as we noted before, right? So, all Rebbe is trying to say is that word, v'achal, is it masculine? Yeah. Well, he expects the reader to recognize that there was feminine and feminine before and after. It's feminine again. The nefesh, kitochal. And then you have the, or kitiga, and then you have the nichrita, which is feminine. And you have the achal in the middle. Now, if you analyze the entire parasha, you would conclude, if you didn't know anything about gender, so then you would say, that's a discussion of Tumas Basar. When the Pesuk continues, says, Vabasar, Kol Tahor Yochal Basar, Vabnefesh Shebochal Basar, Mizevach Hashvanim, Vatumato Allah. I mean, obviously, you would say, okay, we finished discussing Tumas Basar, right? Because that was the first part. It's Vabasar, Sheyigab, Kol Tamei. And now we have begun discussing the tumah of the individual. Va'nefesh tochal basar min zevach hashem, v'tumah to alav is a reference to the person. The only reason that you don't want to say that is because you are sensitive to gender. And in being sensitive to gender, you think to yourself, wait a second. But it can't be referring to the person, because then why didn't it use lashon nekevah? It's just talking about ha'nefesh, and nefesh is nekevah. It says hanefesh tochal v'nichrita, so it says it ought to say hanefesh tochal basar mizevach hashlemim v'tumata aleha v'nichrita hanefesh. Instead it says v'tumata alav. So therefore you're thinking to yourself, gee willikers, it's got to be that it's not kipshute, and that actually this was a reference back to tumat basar for some reason. So that was the pasuk starts with tumat basar, goes to tumat aguf, goes back to tumat basar again. Because otherwise, how do I explain the change in gender? Therefore, comes along Rebbe with one simple word, and he says, can I show you that that's not the case? Look at the word v'achal in the next pasuk. The next pasuk is v'nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh. Now, gentlemen, is there any question whatsoever that nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh is talking about tumat haguf? That's what it's saying. A person who touches anything tamei. And then it says, v'achal nipsar zevach hashlamim. Now, what happened? How did this feminine nefesh suddenly become masculine? So obviously, the Torah refers to nefesh in one context, and the human who contains that nefesh in another context. gender-wise. That's clear. So there's no way out of it in the second Tosik. If there's no way out of it in the second Tosik, then stop worrying yourself about it in the first Tosik. And in the same way, in the second Tosik, we refer to the person as a male, despite the fact that it's his nefesh that is female. And we keep talking about the nichrita of the nefesh, the tochal of the nefesh. Big deal. Big deal. What's the practice of the entire parasha? That it's referred to as a guf. So there you have it. Yeah, exactly. And that doesn't bother us. We see that there are switches back and forth.
So
on the nefesh.
On the guf.
That's it.
But the achila seems to be both has hashpa'a both on the body.
Fine, whatever you like, but what the reference is to an achila where the meat is far, but the person is not.
The nefesh
No, the nefesh does eat. A nefesh asher tocha. That's the neshama yetera. Vay avda nefesh. Right? Vayina fash. Vay avda nefesh. It's the achila of Shabbos, is Rashi says.
It's always a female aspect?
Yeah, sure.
So very
what do you mean, soul, baby, soul? Soul, what do you mean, soul singer? I mean, it's the ichor. What can you do? I mean, we knew anyway we're controlled by females.
Yeah, no, I know, but I think we're so
true. Good. So therefore, all that Rebbe is trying to say is that in an analysis of the pasuk will prove to you that a change in gender is not meaningful, because in the pasuk before it's clear. I mean, the pasuk after it's absolutely clear. There's no way out of it. So therefore, there's no reason to say that the pasuk before is any different. Why do I need two pasukim to tell me the meaning? That's what we'll discuss later. The truth is, it says three times chorus by Tumas HaGuf, and Gemara will ask, why do we need three times chorus by Tumas HaGuf? And it'll explain it. But as far as what the pasuk means kipshutei, and that is your insight here from Rav Yitzchak Bar Avudimi. I told you, I never would have figured out what the heck Rebbe was talking about if you hadn't said that. Now, once I've already explained that to you, I'd like to also give you a beautiful example of Ze'iri. I mean, I'm showing you how to understand a Mishnah. I want to show you how to understand now. And a price, I want you to understand now the example that I told you about Ze'iri. So Masnisa, the Brisa of the Ze'iri explains is like this, the timing. Im ne'amru kalot, lama ne'amru chamurot. Im ne'amar chamurot, lama ne'amar kalot. Now this is, what in the world is it talking about? Well, what it says over here is a reference to the din of Achilas, Truma, and Meiser. And over there it's also talking about Tuma. What can you eat? But this is why we bring it over here. So listen to what it says. It says, O Isha Shiyiga Bechol Sheretz Hashe Yitzmalo, O Ba'adam Hashe Yitzmalo, Lechol Tumatos. What are we referring to? Either Tumat Sheretz or Tumat Meis. Nefesh Hashe Tigabo V'tam'ah Ha'arev V'lo Yochal Min HaKodashim Ki Imra Chatz B'sarvo B'mayim. Now take a look at this. He shouldn't eat from the Kodesh unless he's gone to the Mikvah. But how could he eat if he's gone to the Mikvah? He hasn't had a Harev Shemesh yet. And the very next pasuk says, "Uba Hashemesh v'taher v'achar yochal min hakodashim kilachamahu." So, which one is it? And the truth is, we have two different dinim over here. We have the din of Achilas Maaser, and Maaser indeed does not require Harev Shemesh. We have a din of Achilas Truma, in which we do have a chiyuv of Harev Shemesh in order to eat it. Now, by the din of Achilas Truma, we also have a chiyuv of Mesubo, which is Misa Bidei Shamayim. We don't have that by Meiser, we have only a lav. Given that background, Ze'iri is now going to make sense out of the following brisa. So the brisa is like this. Let's see that again inside. Im namru kalot, lema namru chamurot. If it said kalot, why say chamurot? And if it said chamurot, why say kalot? Well, because im namar kalot velo chamurot, let's say it would have said kalot. I would have said, ala kalot belav, v'ala chamurot b'mita. You're chayav on kalot with a lav, but on chamurot you're chayav b'mita. And none of this makes sense yet. That's why it says the chamurot. On the other hand, it would have said chamurot and not kalot, it would have said, well, ala chamurot ye chayav, then maybe you're only chayav on the chamurot, but on the kalot you'd be potter. Lekach ne'emar kalot, that's why it says kalot. Now can you explain this to me, please? So what, I don't even know what the kalot and the chamurot are. I mean, it sounds like the kalot is the maaser and the chamurot is the truma, but then none of this makes any sense. Let's try to fit it in, okay? My kalot, my chamurot. Let's make the assumption that you and I would have made. That kalot is maaser and that chamurot is truma. Now, can you please tell me what the heck, how would it add up? So let's take the first statement. That it says over here that Hayiti omer ala kalot belav ala chamurot b'mita. What do you mean Hayiti omer? That's the case, for God's sake. What do you mean Hayiti omer b'mita? Hashtanami adamit. It is b'misa. That's the din. Truma. Akilat truma, but truma is b'misa. And then you say, and if it wouldn't have said the kalot, I would have said that Shekhayat b'misa on the kalot? How, excuse me, but how would I have done that? Dayol abomin adin liyoti nidon? If I'm going to learn out Meiser, if I'm going to learn out Truma from Meiser, and you're telling me that, let's pretend that there isn't a Chiyav of Misa, okay? You say, if it would have said Chamorot, I would have said Misa. First of all, it is the Misa. So what would have been wrong with that? But secondly, if it wouldn't have said Chamorot, how could you have learned out the Misa if Meiser is not the Misa? You can't learn out more than what's given. That's the Klal of Dayol of Omin Adin. You can't learn out more than the facts that were at your disposal to learn out from. So if Meister is not b'misa, how could Truma be b'misa? This is totally crazy. So it can't mean that, okay? So let's take another approach. Maybe kalot means tumas sheretz, and chamurot means tumas meis, okay? And that's what it's saying. I mean, l'maiser says both kalot and chamurot, both on Meister and Truma, right? So maybe what it's trying to say is like this. Okay, so now, ela kalot tumas sheretz, chamurot tumas meis. Okay, so now you say ilu nemar in what? In truma, ilu nemar in truma, that would have said only the chamurot. I would have said that what? That it's b'misa. Yes, thank you very much. It is. Thank you. Eat it. B'misa, it is b'misa. And then what do you say? Therefore, it says chamurot to teach me that it's b'lav. It isn't b'lav. It's b'misa. So this doesn't make sense either, b'miso. So fine, so let's say, okay, maybe you're referring to the miser part, okay? If it would have said the chamurot the miser, or if it would have said the kalot the miser, let's try to read that in, please. Dachilat ma'aser, so what are you saying? Im lo nemru chamurot, hayiti omer ala chamurot b'misa. How could I have thought of the chamurot is b'misa if I need to learn out the chamurot from the kalot? What's the kalot? Sheret. Did the Torah ever say that Sheretz is b'misa on Meiser? No. So where would I get the idea that the Chamorot are b'misa on Meiser? What happened to Dayol of Omin Adin L'Yotkin Yidon? I have to learn it out of Sheretz that's given. So how could I possibly make it more common than the Sheretz? So then, Habitumai Sheretz Ka'atim, Dayol of Omin Adin L'Yotkin Yidon, I would never have made the mistake of thinking that you'd be Chayav b'misa. So I'm sorry, it doesn't mean that. Ah! So there's no possible way to make it work. It can't be referred kalas v'chamuras to either tumas or maaser. It can't be referred kalas v'chamuras to tumas meis to tumas sheret on truma. It can't be referred kalas v'chamuras to tumas meis to tumas sheret on maaser. So makes no sense at all. Now I'm going to show you a stroke of genius, and that's the Ziri. I told you, if you never heard Ziri, you never heard a beautiful shot before. Here is Ziri. Comes along Ziri, and he says, "I'll tell you exactly what's going on, my friends. Kalot indeed means too much sheretz. Chamurot indeed means too much meis. Now watch me fit that and I'll slip it right by you. Okay, lovely comma. What it was trying to say is like this. Ilu ne'amar, if it would have said the kalot, too much sheretz, okay? And it would have said too much sheretz both by meiser and truma. So it would have said, meiser and too much sheretz is with a lot. Truma on Tumas Sheretz is with an Isser Misa for eating it, okay? Now here's what I would have said. I would have said, look, there are two factors that need to be taken into consideration in the determination of the Chumrat HaIsur. Factor A is, what are you eating? Maaser or Truma? Factor B is, How are you eating it? Betumas meis or betumas sheres. Now, if you're going to be eating a truma, which is chomer, betumas sheres, and you're chayav misa, that means that I've addressed now a combination of one element lekula, one element lechumra. The element lechumra is that it's truma. The element lekula is that it's only tumas sheres. Now think to yourself. It's a given that if the element is a kula, that it's sheretz, and it's being applied to a kula, namely meiser, that it's a lav and not misa. Okay? It's also a given that if it's applied to an element that's a chumra, even though you are kal, namely your sheretz, a sheretz kal plus a truma chomor equals misa. Okay? Now, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to say, if a sheretz kal and a truma chomor equals misa, then a tumas meis chomor and a fiyav meiser kal also equals misa. Because what I see, that's not a problem of diode. Because the elements are over here. You need to analyze what is the combination. Let's give a weight to each thing, okay? We give each element a weight, okay? A and B. Now it can be either a weight of one, which is its kal weight, or a weight of two, which is its chomer weight, alright? So truma is a two, and sheretz is a one. Three equals misa. So, meiser is a one, and misa is a two. So three equals misa. That's the chat that it's trying to say, and here's how to read it into the words. Even ne'emar tuma sheretz ne'emar tzer v'truma. And it wouldn't say the chamurot, I would say. If kalot al ha-kalot are belav, but al ha-chamurot v'misa, so I mean, it kalot ala chamurot misa, chamurot ala kalot misa. That's what it's trying to say. Brilliant. Vakach ne'amar chamurot. That's why it's said the chamurot, because that way you avoid the dial and everything fits in beautifully. Now that's what I call a ze'iri pshat.
So two of them
I don't know. It's too complicated for me. Anything. All meiser equals lav, and all truma equals misa, whether it's chomer or whether it's kal, in terms of the sheretz, or tumas meiser. Now, wasn't that fun?